I want to introduce you to a very interesting ant. This is a queen ant. You can see rather large for an ant. The reason it's a peculiar one is this ant, after its nuptial flight and its mating, it then seeks a lone place where it lands. And when it does, it loses its wings and it begins to dig in the dirt until it makes a burrow underground. And that queen seals the hole so no predator can get in. And in her little chamber, she begins to lay just a few eggs. Because as the eggs hatch, she has to feed them without any food supply except for her body. And slowly but surely, she loses all her size as those little larvae, which then pupate, are just sapping her energy to the point where she almost dies. In fact, isn't it interesting that the great God of heaven made this particular ant with the ability to lay only a few eggs to start with, because after she feeds them and they go through their cycle and come out as little ants, they then begin to feed the mother before she dies, the queen ant, and revive her. Then she lays a whole bunch of eggs, and the cycle continues because at that point she gets fed. And I thought as I looked at this illustration, how like our King Jesus Christ, who gave His life to nourish us. And so we're going to look at part two today of the series entitled The I Am's of John. And part two is, For Which Do You Stone Me? I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, how thankful we are to have a God like You that, as it were, would put Himself into a secret chamber and close the door so that You can nurture Your children to the point of death for Yourself, so they can live. As we look at this illustration and continue in this series, Lord, reveal Yourself. And Lord, use me in spite of me, so we can hear and see Jesus and no one else. Blessed to this end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For which do you stone me? We're going to answer three questions today. Number one, what did Jesus mean when He said, I am? Why were they going to stone Him? And why such a violent reaction? We're going to answer those three questions. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to John, the 8th chapter. Let's read the story yet again. As Jesus is debating with the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders, as we look at what the I Am's of the book of John are all about. Okay? Chapter 8. Children, you got your Bibles. You should. And by the way, I got more Bibles for you children. If there's newer children here that didn't get one from me, always want you to follow along in these stories. They are so beautiful. We're going to begin reading, it says here at verse 51, but I'm going to go to 48. Okay, everybody ready? Then the Jews answered and said to Him, Do we not say rightly that You are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor My Father, and you dishonor Me. And I do not seek My own glory. There is One who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps My word, he shall never see death. And then the Jews said to Him, Now we know that You have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keep My word, he shall never taste death. Are You greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say He is your God. Yet you have not known me, but I have known Him. And if I say, I do not know Him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know Him, and I do keep His word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. What in the world would make these men desire to stone Jesus, to take such action in order to discover their feelings and their motivations? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. I invite everyone to turn with me to Exodus. And we're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to read a story that you are very much familiar with. Genesis, Exodus 3, starting with verse 10. The second book of the Bible, the second book that Moses wrote, starting with verse 10. God said to Moses, Come now therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. And then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, and they say, and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, What is His name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent you to them, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And so you see, as we look at this part two today of the I Am's of John, we clearly see what Jesus intended when He looked at the Jewish leaders who were arguing with Him, and He said, Before Abraham was, I am. For indeed this is the very name of God. This is the name that God spoke to Moses. You remember Moses saw the tree burning on the mount. He made his way to that location, and when he arrived, he heard a voice say, Moses, Moses, take off your sandals from off your feet, for the ground you stand on is holy. And Moses hit the deck. I am who I am, he said. It means I am that I am. It means the one and only true God. Here the Father is telling Moses point blank that I'm the one and only God that exists. I self-exist. In fact, all existence flows from me. And now we get over to the New Testament, and Jesus clearly pronounces I am. And so the answer to our first question, what did Jesus mean when He said, I am? Well, just to make sure we're not wrong, go back to John 10. You know, we were reading in John 8, now go to John 10. What did Jesus mean? What did He say in John 10, verse 30? You should all know that one by heart. I and my Father are one. Look at the story here. This is incredible. I and my Father are one, verse 30 of John 10. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone Him. And Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those do you stone me? And the Jews answered Him and said, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being man, make yourself what? God. And so we clearly see that Jesus did not hide the fact that He was God. He acknowledged that fact. Well, why were they going to stone Him? I'll tell you why. They didn't want Him to be their Messiah and their God. And then the question naturally flows, why not? Why in the world would they have such a violent reaction? And I want to tell you why. I want you to look at Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Here's another one immediately should come into your mind. Here we see the kind of God that Jesus is, the kind of God the Father is, the kind of God the Holy Spirit is. He's the very kind of God that we need at this time in which we're living. Why did they reject Him? Why did they take such violent action? I'll tell you why. Verse 1 of chapter 15 of Luke. And then all the tax collectors and all the sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eat with them. So spoke He this parable, saying, I am shocked that you didn't jump out of your seat and say, glory, hallelujah. This God receives sinners and eats with them. Amen is right. I want you to know why. I am a sinner. And I'm glad to hear that my God doesn't turn His back on me. But the question is still begged to be answered. Why in the world would they take such a violent response? Why? Because they didn't want that kind of God. They didn't want one that hang around sinners and ate with them. The highest form of compliment is when you invite someone home to your house and eat with them. Didn't Jesus say, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to them. And Jesus says, I will eat with them. I'll sit down and eat their food. You better have something prepared. Because our God receives sinners and He eats with them. I'll tell you why they took such a violent action. Because Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those when they are reviled and persecuted. They hated Him because they didn't want that kind of God. One who loves His subjects. One who gives all to His subjects. Oh, believe me, when Jesus stood up to preach in the Sermon on the Mount as found in Matthew 5, from the very first utterance out of His mouth, blessed are the poor in spirit. All the minds in the crowds of the different diverse thinkings, philosophies, and occupations suddenly came to a halt and said, "Wait a minute. Whoever heard of blessed are the poor in spirit? Whoever heard of blessed are those that mourn? Whoever heard of blessed are the meek?" They were shocked because they were taught and trained to be exclusive. They were taught to strive to be like the religious leaders. They were taught that gain of materialism are important, or position is important, or money is important. And they came to see Jesus hoping to get more clothes and bigger houses and a better job. A stereo and a TV. And Jesus blew them all away when He revealed the kind of God of Christianity, of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, who loves sinners and eats with them. You all know Matthew 11, 28 through 29. You should know that one. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am macho and powerful and rich and famous and influential." "I am meek and I am lowly." And they didn't want that kind of God. And you know what? In the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have too many of us that want to work our way to heaven instead of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've got to understand what He meant. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who are broken down about their sin and come to God, and they mourn. Blessed are they that mourn. And blessed are they that are meek. They admit it. They humble themselves. They don't try to lift themselves up. "Well, it's Sabbath and I have to put on a good face and dress right and act right and then go home and beat your wife. Turn on the TV set, swear at your kids, watch pornography." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what? A sinner can hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they are better shaped than someone who doesn't sin, comes to church, and doesn't hunger and thirst after righteousness. They didn't want that kind of God. They didn't want the God of Matthew 20, verse 22. Look what He said to His disciples. They didn't like this either, by the way. The disciples didn't like this. You know they didn't like this until after His resurrection and ascension. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be waited upon, to be served. The Son of Man came to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." This is Christianity at its greatest. People who serve and give their life for one another. So now you know why they took such offense at Jesus, because of who He was. Jesus made it very plain, "I am God." And they tried to stone Him because they didn't want that kind of God. And their reaction was violent, because the very God that Jesus displayed is actually what we need more than anything else. So in closing, folks, I want to show you something. There are four denominations in this country, but even in the world, that are growing faster than any other denominations. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims, and the Seventh-day Adventists. I invite you to go on the internet and look this up for yourself, just like I did. And I was shocked, because one article said the Muslims are growing faster than any other, and another article said the Jehovah's Witnesses are growing faster. I even saw one that says Seventh-day Adventists is growing faster. But I come to the conclusion all four of them are. Folks, I want to show you something tragic. I want you to know that three of those four do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? Three of those four do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They do not believe nor teach that He is God come in the flesh. And it makes me mad that people are being taught other than the most basic foundational truth of Scripture, that Jesus is one with the Father. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning of... The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, brothers and sisters, don't backpedal from this, because I want you to know that this doctrine is the cornerstone of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our behavior, our thinking, our actions, our philosophy should all come from this one foundational doctrine. We can't necessarily help that there are other very persuasive organizations that do not teach this incredible thing. For notice, I put Jesus on the cross. Why? Because you see, if Jesus isn't deity, the cross doesn't mean that much. Because you and I know that in Afghanistan, Desert Storm, in Korea, and in Vietnam, and World War I, and World War II, there were heroes that gave their life for their unit, for a friend, for whatever. But this isn't just a created being on the cross of Calvary. It is God Himself. Because only God can pay that price. So friend, I want to introduce you to the cornerstone doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and most other Christian denominations, though they don't fully understand the depth of that meaning. And I'm going to say this, like we do. This is what's to motivate us. Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? If you haven't, I invite you to do that. In fact, I invite you to do that. We're going to sing our closing hymn when we're done. And people are being dismissed, come up here. You got to tell me you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Why? You don't make that secret decision in your head and walk out the door without telling someone. Because I guarantee you, you'll lose that conviction unless you tell someone else. Number two, some of you need to be baptized yet. You haven't studied and you haven't made that baptismal commitment. And I want to tell you, when we're done with the closing hymn, I want you to come up here and tell me. I want Bible studies. I want to look into being baptized. I want to serve a God like this who comes and we misuse Him, abuse Him, accuse Him, ridicule Him, hound Him, harass Him, and then He dies on the cross for us so we can have salvation. And then there's others in the congregation that God is speaking to you right now and He's telling you, straighten something up. What are you going to say back to Him? No, Lord, I'm too busy right now. I don't want you to leave here without saying, okay, Lord, I really like this or I'm really into this, but if You give me the power, I'll overcome. If you give me the Holy Spirit and help me, I'm sorry. Give me the strength so I can overcome. Don't leave here without making some sort of decision. And Lord, You know, I believe in prayer. I'm praying to You right now that You talk to every single person in this sanctuary so that they know that You're listening and that You make some sort of decision before You walk out the door. And I want to guarantee to you, if it isn't a real personal embarrassing thing, you need to tell someone what God said to you and what your decision was. Why? Because we're to hold one another accountable. the cornerstone doctrine of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is Jesus Christ is God. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for being the very kind of God that we need, even though we didn't fully understand, and that you are every much as the Father is the Son and the Holy Spirit. I can't wait to get to heaven, Lord, to try to understand it. Probably won't even understand it then, but I'll get a better idea. I want you to bless each one here, Lord. Don't let anybody leave without having transacted some sort of business with you, including me, Lord. And then bring us back for prayer meeting. Bring us back for our prayer times, Lord. Bring us back to our Bible studies on Thursday and Friday night. Bring us back to our choir. Bring us back to our Sabbath schools and to church to worship you, because you put yourself in a little chamber and then became emaciated and almost died, Lord, giving your life for your children. So help us to respond now in kind. So dismiss us with your presence and keep us looking up to you. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.